Well, it's interesting that we went around the room offering prayers to the Father, because that is exactly what we're going to be checking out this evening. Now, we're all aware of this one thing, but it's good to be reminded of this reality, which is the title of my sharing tonight, and that is, prayers are powerful. Amen?
Amen.
Now, when you have a need, go to God. The world's going to tell you, go to the internet. Go and Google something, right? Well, Google really stands for God, only one giving life eternal. That's what Google is. For let no one take praying for granted. Or as a last resort. Praying should be your first choice always. Always. If you want to show God that you love Him with all your heart, strength, soul, mind, do it with a prayer. God loves to know that you're going to Him first. He's our plan A, period. Mm-hmm. Period. Period. Yes, the record we're looking at, or going to look at, is referring to the record of Mary giving birth to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it does say this one thing of God's capabilities. So let's please go to Luke chapter 1, verse 37. And it's our theme verse. We all know this, but it needs to be ingrained, not just in our minds, but in our hearts. And it's for, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And if you have a hard time wrapping your brain around that, I'll help you put this in perspective. Think about the very God who created the universe. Imagine if someone said, I want you to invent heavens and stuff. You wouldn't do it in your lifetime. You wouldn't do it in 50 lifetimes. Yet God not only did this, but He named the stars. And then here comes Earth. That right there is phenomenal with everything that we have. But the crowning jewel of His creation is you and I. Is you and I. So why would we not want to go to Him first and always? He's the one who makes the prayers powerful. Now, prayers should always be our first resort, like I said. Why else would God give us guidance in His scriptures and how prayers were answered, and how we are to learn from them and apply them in our personal life today? Let's be reminded of prayers and answers, because when you pray, I hope you're expecting an answer. So let's look at some records, or a record where the disciples are asking Jesus for help, and we'll find this in Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1. And let's go to Luke chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 1. And it starts by saying, and it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to what?
Pray.
Well, I thought once you become a disciple, you automatically know how to pray. Well, according to this, they're asking Him, teach us how to pray, as John also taught His disciples. And He said unto them, Jesus Christ, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it goes on to give the Lord's Prayer. But that did not mean that every time you pray, you say this prayer. It was a template. It was a guideline. It was a standard on how to pray, giving God the glory right off the bat. Okay? And when we get down to verse 5, it continues to say, and He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go up unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and have nothing to set before him, or I have nothing to set before him. And from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, don't bother me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, how many? Everyone that asks, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If that isn't comforting, I don't know what it is. But God, all he's doing here is reminding people that I'm not a God that turns away from you. I'm not a God that forsakes you or leaves you. And Jesus Christ, like we heard in one of the songs, is the perfect image or the perfect demonstration of the love of God and how he answers each and every one of us. Whether we're in a group like we are tonight or you're by yourself, it doesn't matter. Whatever we do, do not allow guilt or our inadequacies to get in the way. I think they even call that self-condemnation. And when you go down that avenue, you start thinking, I'm not worthy to approach the Father with a prayer or ask him anything, for my track record doesn't look all that good. But how far does God forget things? From the east to the west, right? As far as they're apart. See? No, instead, think of what it says. Please go to 1 Peter 5:7. This is what God says. His word says, casting some of your care upon, casting all your care, and I put an S behind that, all your cares, plural, upon him, for he, God, cares for you. And where it says you, put your name in there. Put your name in there, because that's what he's saying, okay? God didn't write this for the elephants or the birds or whatever. He wrote it for you and I, and that's who he's talking about. Who greater to care for us than the Almighty God? Go to Philippians 4:19. I'm going to read this one out of the Amplified. Philippians 4:19. And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our God is a caring God and Father who wants to be present in our day-to-day lives. God doesn't have weekends where he's got, close the God door, I'm shut down for the weekend. I'm going to do my own thing now. No, God never sleeps, and God is there for you. Even when you think, well, I don't know if I'm going to get through this. Yeah, they tell me go to God and stuff like that. Give him a try. There's been times in my life where there's been a situation where I thought, how on earth am I going to get out of this? But right after I said that, I stopped and renewed my mind and said, if there's someone that can help me, it's Almighty God, knowing what he has done. And you know what? It all worked out. And you know what I did right after that? Thank you, God. thank you for your help. Why would you doubt that? There is no boring times with the Father. He doesn't get bored with you or I. That's another thing. He's interested. God is interested. The peace God gives us is life-changing for sure. Because the peace the world gives you is temporary. and it can change at the drop of a hat. If it doesn't go good for them, then it'll manifest to you not being all that good either. You know, I experienced this at work, but my mind isn't on that. It's on what the Father is doing for me or what He will do for me. And that gets me through situations. We should run to the Father, seeking His mighty arms of love and help. Love and help. Please go to Hebrews 4:16, please. Hebrews chapter 4, and let's look at verse 16. I'm going to read this in the NLT. It opens it up a little bit more. So, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. And gracious He is, because He has all the resources He needs to make something come to pass in your life. There, we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. When we need it most. God's not like an insurance plan that you got to fill out forms and wait a few weeks. No. We have direct access to the Father because that's how big His love is for you and I. A record I'm reminded of was that of Jehoshaphat as he set his eyes upon God and waited for His deliverance. He reached out to God for help in his prayers, and God answered him by telling him, "Hold tight, the battle is not yours, it's mine," as we'll see in a moment. God sometimes in our own minds, we don't know what to do or where to go. How many have been there? And I think a lot of times when that arises in our minds, it's because we're not looking at God. We're not looking at God. We need to go to Him and say, "Father, I'm in a conundrum, and I'm not going to try and figure this out. I need Your help." So you keep on speaking in tongues, and you keep on praying, and watch Him go to work for His child. What about going to God in prayer as the choice, like I said, as our plan A? As soon as you come up with a plan B, D, and C, you're pushing God a little bit further away. You're not trusting Him as much as you should. God is always capable. And like we read Luke 1:37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible," and it isn't. And the sooner you grasp onto that and hang on to it with a believing heart, you will see things come to pass. It's never easy waiting on the Lord, but we keep on praying. And I know you've all experienced this, because I have. When things don't happen, sometimes when we think they should, no. You keep on praying to the Father, asking Him for His help, saying, "Father, I know Your timing is always the best." And by golly, it is. When that situation gets taken care of, you can use your hindsight and say, "You know what? Had it come earlier or later, it wouldn't have been so good. But the time it came was perfect. It was perfect." Because it wasn't my wisdom that was involved. It was God's wisdom. What was involved was my heart reaching out to the Father for help. The same God was watching over Jehoshaphat, like I said, is watching over us as well. Now, how about David's prayer concerning his adultery? Remembering He, God, is faithful and just to forgive you and I, and forgives all unrighteousness. And that's another one that you find hard time wrapping your mind around, that saying, "Oh no, I'm not going to forgive. He's not going to forgive me. This is a felony when it comes to God. I'm screwed." No. You just say, "God, forgive me. God, forgive me." And you know what? He will. So, let's look at Psalms chapter 51, starting in verse 9. Psalms chapter 51, and we'll start in verse 9. As I go there myself here. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy, as Daniel shared yesterday, of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. If there's ever a foundation to build your lives on, it's that spirit that we have within us. Because from that, we are energized. From that, our believing is put in the forefront of our mind, what we're capable of doing. And God has made that available through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, especially looking at the things that he did. So we see that our prayer life is not futile, but formidable. Our prayer life is not futile, but formidable. It really is. So I want to close in Psalms, and let's look at chapter 116, verse 1. Psalms 116. And verse 1. I'm going to do this out of the NLT also. So let's enjoy these words. I love the Lord because he hears my what?
Voice.
He does. He hears your voice. Now, does it have to be audible? No. Just like when you speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues out loud or quiet. God hears. God hears. And my prayer for mercy. Verse 2. Because he bends down to listen. Get a mind picture of that. The Almighty bending down. What did you say, George? No problem. No problem. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. And that's our consolation to us. As long as we have breath, we pray to the Father. Sometimes things happen in an instant, in a moment. Sometimes it takes a day or two or longer. But we don't quit. We don't give up with what is on our hearts that we need help with. And it's not just that. It's also to pray prayers of thanksgiving for the things he has done for you. See, I could sit here, won't want to bore you, but I could tell you about all the things God has done for me. And it's just a big, big blessing to my heart and my life to see just how he's worked, just how he shaped my frame to what it is today. And like I said, the cherry on top, and it's a big cherry, is this young lady sitting to my left. God knew I wanted to be married, but he says, don't go to a bar, don't go here, don't go there, just live your life, continue to walk with me, and the time will come where that person will appear. And she did. So I'm thankful for that. So, again, prayer is powerful. It's powerful. No matter what the world tries to sell us, saying, if you have a deficiency in your life, do this, and you'll be set free and stuff. Okay, well, how much does that cost? Oh, yeah, there's a price tag that comes along with that. Well, you know what? Jesus Christ paid the price, the ultimate price. He endured a lot so that we, like I said, could pray to the Father directly and ask him for his help. So my encouragement to all of us is don't stop praying. Don't stop praying, for it's a formidable thing. It's an example of your heart for God. Just how much you love him and trust him. Amen.
Amen.
So, gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for everyone in this room, for them to know in their hearts and believe with a sure heart that you hear their prayers and you answer them in the best possible way. For Father, we need you. We don't want to live without you. We belong to you. Show us, Father, the way you want to show us how we can come to you and how we can get things taken care of. But let us all start by asking you that your will be done. Your will be done. And we know that you'll fill in the rest for us. So, that our prayers come to you, Father, whether it's for our personal lives or for a brother and sister in Christ, or simply for direction, Father, for your guidance. And I just thank you how prayers are powerful. You show us in your word, and you remind us of that. And so, Father, as prayers make up the fabric of our lives, help us to always, always, Father, when we wake up, to start our days with that. And we thank you in Jesus' wonderful, risen, healing name. Amen.
Amen.